We're going to talk about, yesterday was the introduction to pillars. And pillars are these. In ancient Israel and in Babylon and all over the, there were pillars that had the images of their gods and their value systems on the pillars. And when you go, like if you're in Egypt, or not really Egypt, but if you're in Greece or Israel or a lot of the countries, you know, they're not really high. I'm not talking about the high mountains, but where there's a hill, on just about every hill, you see a grove of trees, a graveyard, and these pillars. In fact, it looks a lot like this stuff here. It's infamous. Anybody that doesn't have this high place image worship thingy.
Is that available on the website?
No, but we should.
It's available for a donation of $5.
You're taking over the ministry of Harry? Paul talks about, in several places, he says, come out of her, my people, come out of her, touch not the unclean thing. You all remember where that is, we've heard that before. What do you think that means? If you're a particular brand of Christianity, then you believe that's the Catholic Church. I'm serious. They believe that the Antichrist is the Pope, and that it's just goofy. Or if you believe in the Reconstructionist, you believe that this Antichrist hasn't shown himself yet, and when he's going to set himself up and come from the European nations. It was the common market, but now there's some 26 nations or something in it, so, well, there's going to be 10 main ones or something. But I believe come out of her, my people, means come out of this whore of Babylon that's sitting on the seven mountains of your mind, and come out of her completely so that you no longer participate in any of the high place activities, that the same ones that I saw in Greece and the Far East and other nations in the Middle East are the ones we see in our minds. Remember, there are seven nations that were the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, and those seven nations, each of the seven are a type. Remember, we've talked about Jebusites were the last to go because they represent hope in something other than the resurrection. So what are these pillars? What does it mean? Any of you have any thoughts of what come out of her, my people, means? Touch not the unclean thing. How do you deal with that when you read that in the scriptures, for you Bible scholars?
After that build up, I think I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Has anybody ever thought about it? How do you deal with it? Not a word.
Oh, I thought about it. I thought it was false religion to come out of her and my people.
Okay, what is the false religion?
You've been explaining it.
You mean it's you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said it's all the things that I rely on other than God.
That's
which probably is getting close.
I think of any construct of the world, so that you know, each age there's a different thought and whatever. And we're not of this world.
So, but all of these high places that we have created, or that have been created in us, are where we go up for sustenance, right? Something happens that you don't like, some issue takes place that causes you to believe that there is a need, your instant response is not faith. Your instant response is to try to figure it out, to try to see what to do about it. You might sort of give God a sop and pray about it, But fundamentally, you're asking God to bless your efforts, as opposed to what true faith is waiting on Him and not leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. What's going on, Gary?
I was just thinking, I was having a little trouble with the concept when you started talking, come out of her. But then as I considered it, it's like her to me is the bride that I have created, the one that I go to for comfort, the one that I go to for consolation, whatever. And I've supplanted God in that I've created my own spiritual bride that is my lover, spiritual. So come out of her now makes sense in that context, because I have to deny everything I've ever done, every avenue of comfort I've ever sought, every grove I've laid under, everything I've ever conceived of, because it's all unclean. It's all out of my own being.
You remember there's all kinds of pointers to this. Paul said in Romans 9 that there are only two things left, vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. It says elsewhere that the only thing that's left is the bride and the whore. And so when we worship, meaning, not, it doesn't mean you think is good, it means you give breath to. When you worship these issues other than faith, other than the Father, then you're touching, by definition, the unclean thing. Now, you know, there's been all kinds of debate with anthropologists and sociologists regarding people like Margaret Mead, and talking about the innocence in the South Sea Islands, and how, you know, everything else has been corrupted. There's the discussions about what would a person be if he was raised without human activities, raised by, you know, monkeys or something. And what we have to see in this context is that. We have been taught how to do everything. We even have been taught how to think. We've been taught how to what things to give value to. We've been universally taught that suffering is bad and pleasure is good. And so we, as we've talked so often, we move and we define ourselves by moving away from pain or suffering and moving towards pleasure. And every once in a while we get really, you know, determined, and we see a little bit farther, and so we can experience discipline or something so that we can achieve something else. But fundamentally, it's our whole being is moving and been created by us moving towards pleasure and away from pain. Now, that is how our minds work, and that's how that's how we've been created. Now, the greatest enemy of faith are these pillars. There's no single greater enemy than faith. There's the enemy of faith and the pillars in our minds, because these pillars, for an infinite number of issues, we've created. We've either learned or we've somehow found out for ourselves that we have a thought about something, and then that thought has to have some form, and so with a form we then mold it and make it into a form. And then we try to accomplish it, or we try to do it. So in the context of what we're talking about, there's thought, word, and deed. No other process has anything any human action ever taken place in history. There's been thought, word, and deed. Now, this is so basic, and that's why we're going down to the, hopefully to the core, so that we can see what we are doing and see how that, what we do naturally, is an enemy of faith. The Father has a universal plan of the ages. The reason the universe was created was to what? What was the reason the universe was created?
Fellowship.
Well, God wanted a family, bottom line. And so, all of the... That's why Adam was created and Eve was created and or however you want to think about it. That's why the first beings were created. And slowly but surely, the intent of those first beings was to transform the innocence, because they had no capacity for self-consciousness, into holiness by coming against stuff they didn't like to see whether or not they would try to do something about it, or they would stay in dependence on God. And as we've talked so often, we don't know how many tests they passed. We only know about the one they failed. They failed because they were seduced into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
This redefines holiness.
Oh, what, totally. Holiness is tested innocence. Now, that's really the bottom line of what holiness is. That's what why Christ is holy, because he was both Son of Man and Son of God. He emptied himself of the powers or the abilities even of Son of God. He also emptied himself of his abilities as Son of Man. So he remained an empty vessel that was only dependent on God. And through the series of all of the things that happened, he transformed that innocence into holiness and created a way, or the way. Now we take his birth, his suffering, his life, his tests, which were legion, his death, and finally his resurrection, and we take it and say, all right, we now accept him as our personal Savior. That means that it's Jesus and I are partners, and we're going to do this thing.
He becomes a model for behavior as opposed to...
Right, he became just another role model that nobody can meet.
Keep focusing on that.
Now, again, back to this thought, word, and deed. This is hard to explain because it's like trying to, you know, it's like a bird trying to describe air. In the beginning was the Word. But even before that beginning, there was the thought in the mind of God. Then the Holy Spirit moved on the face of the waters and created. So it's always the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father is the thought, the Word is the plan, and the Spirit is the action. And that's why Zechariah is so clear. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, the only way I can describe this is a situation that John and I are facing right now, because this is the only way that I can give it meat. We hired Ketchum to raise funds for Trinity, and then we stopped it because we weren't ready to do it, and now we're getting ready to gear it back up again. And so we've been talking to this individual about doing this, about because there's a need for long range funds. Now, this individual's response is, well, you need a battle plan. You need a plan of action. You need this, you need this, and you need this. And this is, he's right. I mean, that's the way the world works. And I could never buy into that. And I didn't know why, really, until this morning. If I create a plan of action before there's a need for it, then I'm violating all this. So what I'm going to tell him is, we will do what you're asking to meet your need or to meet the other person's need, but I'm not going to do it before it starts. Does that make any sense to anybody? The idea is that we only respond to need. We don't respond to invented stuff. Now,
we're not going to let that plan dictate the actions and conditions.
Yeah, it's different. It's the idea that we're not going to have a plan. We are only responding to a need. We need
a plan.
Well, let me just get it. We don't need a plan. We need. No, listen. And I talked about it yesterday with both Pete and with Carolyn. Carolyn needs help. She's being overwhelmed with the work that she's doing. Pete needs help because he can't do both the investigations and take care of all the stuff around here. I mean, it's constant. So the need is they need help. Now, the only way I know to think about that for Pete was, the only thing I know to do is, because I don't want to hire a $12,000 a year or a $15,000 a year assistant to Pete when Pete gets $4,000. So we've agreed that we would pray for somebody, a Levite, that could work and assist Pete. But Carolyn's situation is different because she does the fulfillment of the magazine. And so in Carolyn's case, we can't expect that to be done by a quote-unquote Levite or a normal kind of employee. We have to expect that that's going to be something that we either farm out and we hire something. For the need for Carolyn, we need enough money to be able to do that. We need some improvements on our investigative thing if we're going to do it right, because we've been asked by a lot of things, U.S. Senate Finance Committee, IRS, we've got to improve our investigating ability. So to meet that need, we need some as Ronnie so eloquently put, we need some dough. Okay, so that's the basis. Now, do we make a plan of action to meet the dough? I mean, to get the dough? I don't know. Then I think I'd be violating everything. We have a friend that has a need, and we might be able to help him meet that need by working with us on this project. The only thing that I don't want him to do is use his system of doing it to meet the need. Because it's not a faith. And whatsoever is not a faith is sin. And how do you know whether it's a faith? Because there's a need that you've been confronted with by the hand of God, and that need, are you going to use the world system, or are you going to use faith? Now, that's the only way that I could think about that in this instance. But the same is true in intimately, in detail, in every situation that you confront in your mind. Every time you have a need, what's your response? The response isn't to use the world system to meet the need. The response is to use God's system and then wait. And God's system is faith. because the need wouldn't be there, and it wouldn't need to be met if... Now, ever from your very beginning, if you had to take a test, you sat down and studied for the test. If you wanted to read, you sat down and learned to read. If you wanted, whatever you wanted to do, whatever situation you were confronted with, you had to sit there and use the mind to come up or memorize or learn or study or do something. I'm saying to you that that system of preparing to meet the need by the tools of the world is not faith. And every time you have done that and you reverted back to the ways of the world to meet a need, then that's what you have to come out of. Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. Now, I promise you that you have a veritable forest of pillars on how to do stuff up here in your Jerusalem, in your Sanhedrin. Now, a whole lot of them you've learned to ignore because they were just kind of stupid. But what I'm asking us to do now is to see more clearly, and we will in a minute, how you respond to what you think or you any need that you confront. Like yesterday, the only way to describe. Okay. The last two or three weeks, I haven't had any cataclysmic muscle spasms. Before that, the doctor that we go to had made me an appointment with his sophisticated pain clinic. But because of stuff happened in the last two or three weeks, I've been able to exercise my way out of these cataclysmic spasms. I've had a desire in my heart for years and years and years to have a membership at the Tom Landry Center. So we went to the pain clinic, and they don't think I should go to the pain clinic, but I get to go to, they've prescribed a membership to the Tom Landry Center. So, I mean, every step of the way was based on need, but not on our understanding of that need. Even if it was based on our understanding of that, it was trumped by faith without us even knowing it. And if you think about the history of Trinity Foundation, that has been what we have done. Everything, without exception, that we took, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to get that. Everything that we have planned to do has failed miserably. And absolutely nothing we are doing was planned. Now, and we still exist somehow. We haven't used any of the world's systems, and when we did, we were stomped on by the Holy Spirit. And so all I'm asking each one of you to do is look and see how the faithfulness of God has kept us and has ensured that we didn't use any of these pillars. And I want you to now see that you don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything anymore. It's faith which worketh by love. Period. And so whether it's in Gary's business or Tom's situation or Wade, I mean, Wade's another example. Wade hated what he was doing, and he loves to teach music. And so he took a dare, he took a risk, and prayed about it, and we talked about it. And he's teaching music, he's making more money than he ever did, and he's doing exactly what he wants. He's home all the time when he wants to be. But it was just, it didn't happen by any way that we thought it should, I mean, or that anybody would think it should. And so I want you to see and look at our lives over the past and just look at the crisis that you come through. There was no, you didn't come through the crisis by using the ways of the world. You came through the crisis by what God, and what, if we were writing the Bible today, would be your faith.
A great example for me is that our house.
Yeah.
We wanted to buy this house, and we kept trying to figure out how to do it, how to position ourselves financially and borrow money and all this stuff, and we couldn't do it. And what we did was we went to the people that own the house and said, we want to buy the house, but we don't know how. And all of a sudden, we own the house.
And again, and this doesn't, it isn't always, you don't always get the answer, because God's answer is that you should wait. But this, and again, I know it's hard to understand this, because if you have a job and are out there in the world working, but the same thing is true. And but it's not just true in these bigger things. It's true in the innermost, smallest details. That you no longer, you don't have to pay attention to the mind talk anymore. You don't have to pay attention to any of the things that are going on, because we are no longer with this system of trying to usurp God by us being in the position of thought, word, and deed. That's His business. Our business is simply to meet the need that's confronted us. And we do that by faith, not by thought, word, and deed.
The pillars is when that process happens in your mind. You have a thought, you think about what you're going to say or how you're going to accomplish it, versus saying what's there.
Right.
When it comes up.
Right.
I need this. Not, here's what I want you to do for me.
Amen. No, there's no how-tos. It's, you remember Jesus said this incredible thing that we can't get our arms around, because we're trying to put it in the context of the pillars? He said, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Now that's a pretty amazing statement. I mean, does anybody believe that? I promise you it's true. If you've seen through them, and you can come out of this kingdom of the whore of Babylon, which is cause and effect, thought, word, and deed, you know. And now it's even this system that's so evil is now being preached. If you can perceive it, you can achieve it. All I have to do is pump power into her. Oh, this is a Garyism. It's one of these things that I will never forget.
And we're never going to forget it either.
I know.
Just remember, you never go out of the stream.
But my point is the idea of pillars is that you have to, number one, it creates anxiety. Number two, they create separation. Because if somebody is not going to agree with you on that, you separate yourselves from them, especially your wife. And number four, you've touched the unclean thing. Why, it's more than that. Did I ever tell you I hate you?
Number 18.
The pillars reveal vows, too.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be a burden on anybody. If I need help, I'm going to come to you with a plan of action.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's all you need to do, and my need will be met. Yeah. Versus laying my need out. Just saying, whatever, you know, I'm in need here. And so I've made that vow about never being a burden, so I've got to minimize my impact on this need.
Thank you.
We must say, because we are in union by faith with the Father, in the Son, He is our life, that all of that system is no longer necessary. It's not only no longer necessary, it's become abhorrent. And the reason for the abhorrence is this incredible system of mind talk. And that's what we'll get in. Because in order to understand pillars, you have to understand mind talk. And mind talk makes you super spiritual. It's just bullshit. It just makes you a religious nut. Okay, any. This is just the. We're still in the short grass. But at least we got into the grass. Gary, what are you? You're cogitating again.
Mind talk is fondling the whore.
And you're just doing the same
thing. Keep it to yourself.
Trying to do a little sound bite there.
That's not true. The loving it has to be, you have to see that the loving it is over. It's because it is so incredibly, you can't do it and know the fear of God. So it's either the fear of God or this old whore you used to love. Now that whore's got, no, never mind. All righty. Anybody else? Any thoughts?
I have a question. If you do this thought, word, and deed thing all the way back to the most basic level, and we do what we're taught, you know, and away from pain and towards pleasure and all that, is there any room in here in this equation for like instinct or?
Well, what we call, if you're talking about the instinct of an animal, yes. If you're talking about the human, what the human being calls instinct, no.
Spontaneity.
It's total spontaneity, without any awareness. That's the true instinct. It's why, it's the bird flying.
Nice. Everything we know we were taught
is wrong.
Say that. Everything we know we were taught.
Yes. Because it comes from the wrong source.
No room in there for anything that we... Can you teach yourself?
No. Because...
If I stick my hand in fire, I don't do that twice.
Well, neither does a monkey.
But still, you're learning yourself.
But that's not... That's all of the rules of the kingdom of darkness. That has nothing to do with the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light says I can walk in a fire and be in there and not be burned.
Catholic, so I don't know about
this. Yes, you do. If you read Book of Daniel.
We don't walk on coals.
Well, we did, but we're sorry about it.
We used to.
We did.
It was deed without thought.
Yeah. It was deed with stupidity. No, but the source, I think, and I think we can prove that there is a source. We'll study that tomorrow, hopefully. Ask me the same question in the morning. Can you at least see enough of this to know that you should repent from taking this thought process and just be in faith? That faith doesn't require any thinking about it. Amen? Yeah.